WNST, Tassel Baltimore. Baltimore positive. We are positively getting ready for the biggest football game ever. And one of us is actually going to the football game this week. We're going to be doing the Cup of Soup or Bowl beginning on February 5th at Fadley's at Lexington Market. I know they're not open yet. They're getting over there. We're working things out. On Tuesday, we'll be at Costas. Wednesday, we'll be at Coco's, excuse me, Thursday at State Fair. And then on Friday, we're going to wrap things up, hopefully with a Purple Friday pep rally at Pappas in Cockeysville. We needed a place that's big enough to accommodate everybody. All of it brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, your friends at Window Nation, as well as our friends at Jiffy Lube Multicare. This guy is oiled up, lubed up, ready for football. We welcome Luke Jones back onto the program. He has been in Owings Mills, where tell everybody how they put the background. They make it different. They put the little AFC championship thing up and you know, Harbaugh plays with the microphone and he sits and gets wistful. This is an interesting week. This is one of my favorite weeks to cover the sport and cover the team or championship game weeks.
No question about it. And since you just mentioned it, I have to share this. If anyone was watching Lamar Jackson's press conference on Wednesday, he actually tripped over the microphone cord and the microphone went flying. Now, Lamar didn't fall, but I was just thinking that I actually joked about it with him in the locker room after the fact. I'm like, it's a good thing you didn't fall. You would have caused like a panic among Ravens fans, and he just laughed. But it is definitely a bigger deal in Owings Mills this week, as you'd expect. Plenty of media, a bigger media contingency than normal. Plenty of media, frankly, that I don't even know, Nestor.
Yeah, who the hell are these people?
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
They don't let me in. They're letting who they let in this week?
And that's what's funny. So the way they did it Wednesday.
Well, there is no more Sports Illustrated. There is no more Sporting News. I went through all of my guests from 25 years ago, and I'm like, these publications don't even exist anymore.
Yeah, I mean, there are plenty out there. It's just reimagined, repackaged, rebranded, whatever it might be. But as you know, and as many of our listeners know, Wednesday is always the big media day as it pertains to a Sunday game. So the way they did it on Wednesday, they had the what would typically be what we call the podium. You know, they had Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson, Roquan Smith, Kyle Hamilton. They had those guys before practice. They had practice, and then they had open locker room. So it was funny walking into the open locker room with this huge group of media, and a couple Ravens players commented and said, I don't even know who most of these people are. And I said, don't worry, I don't either. So, but big
Chad Steele's worst nightmare, right? Like lots of people in the locker room, you know? So yeah.
Big week, as we all know, you know, the Captain Obvious statement, but it is crazy when you really think about it through the lens of there's no disputing the fact that this is the biggest home game in the history of the Baltimore Ravens. You know, we can think back to Ray Lewis's final home game, you know, against the Colts in 2012. But really, for me, before Sunday, it was the 2006 playoff game against the Colts. I think that was easily the biggest home game in the history of the franchise, regardless of how it turned out. But going into this, you know it's the biggest one ever, right? It's the first AFC championship game in Baltimore in 53 years. So it's exciting. I mean, it really is. And I think, you know, you'll ask the inevitable question, what's the vibe like in the locker room? What's the mood around the team? And it seems businesslike. It seems like how it's been for weeks and months now. We'll see.
Well,
what
they've been good at this. Nobody's been better at this than them, getting ready for a football game. They've done it
in big games
18 times in a row, and they've done it well. Yes.
And big games in December, you know, playing San Francisco, playing Miami, knowing that the number one seed was on the line at the time. So, I mean, everything on paper sets up for this team to be favored, as they should be, and they deserve to be favored in this game. But it is Patrick Mahomes coming to town. It is the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid coming to town. So I think the Ravens have shown the proper amount of respect in their comments while not bowing down to the Chiefs either, not deferring to them, not providing them any sense of, well, we're not worthy of playing the team that's been to the Super Bowl three of the last 4 years. And not that you'd expect that, but you know, I think they've struck a good balance. In fact, it was funny. Lamar Jackson was asked the inevitable question and saying, okay, Lamar, we know you're going up against the Kansas City defense, but we know everyone's talking about you playing against Patrick Mahomes. And Lamar started right out by saying, I don't really like playing against Patrick Mahomes. And he just laughed because he said he's such a great quarterback, you know? So, but he went into it that it is exciting because it feels like it's too heavyweights going at it. And
I don't know if it would have felt this way with the Bills. The Bills would have been a 6-point underdog, right? Maybe.
Maybe more. I mean, maybe off of off the impressive part of winning, but the thought last week that the Bills would be the team that could knock you out or come in. I think seeing Josh
Maybe.
Allen coming in this week would be a whole lot different than seeing Patrick Mahomes. I mean, there's just a different pedigree with Mahomes that should frighten everybody. He's never lost, he doesn't lose these games. I shouldn't say never, but he doesn't lose these games often, and they never have to play him on the road. And the one thing I'll say about him in the post game the other day was that was a tough game, much like our game. Tough game. They could have had that second touchdown at the 1 yard line. The ball rolls to the end zone. Didn't make it easy. But after the game, he kept saying, they kept saying, we can't, same crap that Harbaugh preaches, everybody's against us. They said you can't do it. They said you can't do it. Nobody said Patrick Mahomes can't do anything, right? But in his mind, this is something I haven't done. This is a box. Because in his mind, we'll be the one seed next year and the year after that year. This will be the only time we ever have to go on the road and do this in his mind.
Yeah, to go back to what you said about Buffalo, I think the Bills, given the state of their health, right? I mean, their injuries on defense, which was a big reason why they lost that game. I mean, I think you look at the linebacker position, that was just ravaged. It's bad news if you're injured at the linebacker position against the Ravens. So while maybe 2 weeks ago, or th 3 weeks ago, I would have argued and said Buffalo from a matchup standpoint, because Josh Allen was playing at a very high level late in the season, I might have said that that's the tougher matchup, but from a pedigree standpoint, I mean, come on. I mean, this is, I was looking at it and thinking about it a lot. I've been writing about it at BaltimorePositive.com this week. I mean, you think about the state of the AFC and what it was from about 2003 on. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, and Joe Flacco the 1 year, right? I mean, that's what the AFC was for the better part of 15, 16 years. Patriots finished off with the Super Bowl in 4 of 5 years, appearing in the game 4 of 5 years. And then they get beat. Tom Brady leaves, and the Kansas City Chiefs step right in. And now they're a win away from potentially being in a Super Bowl 4 of the last 5 years representing the AFC. So, really, for the Ravens, I mean, so much has been focused on the fact that this has been long overdue for the Ravens to play Kansas City in January. We've been talking about this narrative for 5 years, right? Going back to Lamar's rookie year, and they took the Chiefs to overtime at Arrowhead that December. We've been talking about it ever since. What do you do? How do you construct this roster? How do you need to play to beat the Kansas City Chiefs? Well, this is their first shot at it that isn't a September game since then, right? So it's a huge opportunity. But on the flip side, for Kansas City, they're the underdog this week. You know, they're in a position, not that it's a big line or anything like that. It's been right around 3, 3.5 points. I saw maybe as low as 2.5 at one point early in the week. But you know, that's pretty rare when they've been in that they've been in that territory. I mean, what, last year I guess the Eagles were a 1-point favorite or something like that. But the point is, they're used to this position. The Ravens are not. So as much as the Ravens are favored, they're the better team on paper. They were in the regular season. They are playing at home. You still have to deal with a team that has a heck of a championship pedigree. And oh, by the way, a team that's coming off, I think, easily their best performance of the season in beating Buffalo. And I thought they looked pretty darn good against Miami the week before. So it's a Chiefs team that looks way better than it did, say, on Christmas Day, when everyone was kind of writing their eulogy at that point. And I know I said at least once or twice, let's just wait. December's not the same as January, you know, as much as everyone's quick to try to jump to the conclusions. But you know, this is everything the Ravens have wanted for a long time. You know, it was supposed to be this way. I think it was inevitable that, and Lamar Jackson even said it, to be a champion, you have to go through a champion. I mean, that was kind of the money quote from Wednesday's big media day, Lamar offering that up, and it's the truth. You know, to be the man, you have to beat the man, right? Ric Flair. So I think for the Ravens, they understand what's ahead, what's in front of them. They understand this opportunity. They know it's going to be crazy. I mean, Ravens already announced Ray Lewis and Ed Reed, legends of the game. Jonathan Ogden, honorary captain. Michael Phelps is going to be there. Anquan Boldin's going to be there. Terrell Suggs. Go down the list. Dennis Pitta,
See,
Matt
just when you
Phillips.
think they can't one up Cal Ripken, they found a way to go higher than it's sort of like Aquaman and Batman. Then you go to Superman, and that's, I guess, where they bring Ray Lewis out for the Halls of Justice. I mean, Ray comes out there and dances on Sunday. It's going to be
electric. I don't think there's any question about that. And I mean, some of those, the players have never seen that. And certainly last week, I mean, and you can speak to this, the amount of noise in the stadium and what it was. I don't think it's going to be that way with $600 and $700 and $800 tickets this week. I don't know who's going to be in the stands. It's going to be a hodgepodge of people, fans who've had tickets, and then people who can afford it. It's literally different than last week when they were giving tickets away and it was cold and nobody wanted to go. It was $50.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be rabid. I mean, I really do. I think that's a very fair point. It's definitely, I mean, I just talking to some of my friends this week, you know, some of my friends who, frankly, they have the money to do it, but they look at the prices. They're just like, I don't know if I could justify spending that much money because, well, I've got kids and I got to think about, you know, all my other expenses.
Well, forget Vegas in 2 weeks if that's the case.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, that's just but that's why this is. So
$600 is going to be a cab fare in Las Vegas. If you, you know, just to get, you know what I mean? I keep thinking to myself, if you really want to go, spend the $550 and just go because like it'll cost more than that just to fly to Vegas 2 weeks from now. So, yeah, I mean, I know you're excited about sitting in our seat. Eat an extra hot dog for me or do something like that. But, yeah, I mean, in my own case, I'm not going to the game on Sunday and that's a little weird for me. And I've spoken about that out loud and that doesn't mean I'm rooting against them. I obviously want them to win. It's better for everything when they win. It's better for everybody when they win. But the notion that this, I've seen this happen a couple of times now, that first championship game, we went out to Oakland, underdog, can't win in Oakland, black hole, barely beat Tennessee, all of that. And then the last couple of times these championship games have been, I don't think anybody thought that the Ravens couldn't go up to New England and win. You know, I mean, they almost won the first time, then they did win the second time. This is a whole different thing to get to this game because the Ravens have not been a great playoff team. Lamar has not been he's still a sub 500 postseason record, like literally at this point. So there's a point for me where the pedigree's all with Mahomes and this, as everybody's pointed out, this is Lamar's time to shine. You know, like this is his chance to have the legacy that he's talked about having and the whole believe that moment. Here we are. And I think they'll see it through. I certainly don't think they're going to be behind 14-3 at halftime. I don't think it's going to be that kind of game. I see it more like last week's game with Buffalo, where it's just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I expect it to be 27-24, like all these games have been in the fourth quarter. I mean, when Lamar and Mahomes have gotten together, they've been really good football games for the most part.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I don't think it'll be as high scoring as it was in week two when they played each other 2 years ago, which, my goodness, that feels like 5 years ago. I mean, that was a long time ago when you consider everything that's happened since then. I mean, the injuries to Lamar, the contract situation, I mean, what the Chiefs have done since then. I mean, it's, you know, it's, I don't know if you can take too much from any of those games because it's been so long. And, you know, even the Ravens, when they beat Kansas City in 2021, you thought, okay, this is their breakthrough moment. And well, they didn't even make the playoffs that year because of all the injuries they had. And we know what's transpired since then. So
I'm wondering if Roquan Smith ever played Mahomes, right? Like literally.
He hasn't. He hasn't. I mean, I even asked him about it.
Because he was there a couple of years and I'm like, yeah, you got a 1-4 chance of maybe playing him, right?
Yeah. Well, they did play them in 2019 and that was the year he was on injured reserve at the very end of the year for the Bears. So, I mean, you know, I asked him about that and, you know, his answer was about what you expected. I mean, he offered plenty of respect. He said he's an elite quarterback, but we're an elite defense, so we're not backing down. And that's what I would expect Roquan Smith to say. That's how I'd expect the Ravens defense to feel. I mean,
he sort of replaced Suggs as far as like the WWE character in the locker room, right?
He's not as over the top as Suggs could be. I mean,
I'm sure he's a much better man.
I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about the sound bites themselves. I mean, Suggs at times could be very WWE like. Roquan's, I don't want to say he's reserved because he's not reserved, but typically, you know, he's, you know, I'd say he's a little more Ray Lewis like in that way, you know, not that he is. I mean, Lamar Jackson even said it the other day. He said, Roquan Smith gives us a Ray Lewis energy, a Ray Lewis juice that we were lacking. I mean, you know, Lamar's this young guy, but it's not as though he's not aware of how things were in the past here. I mean, he's met Ray Lewis. He's talked to Ray Lewis. You know, Lamar's met fans. He's heard fans talk about the old good old days, so to speak. So, you know, Lamar recognized, this franchise recognized the value that Roquan Smith had. And I think with each passing day, each passing week, and I say this is the guy who absolutely was not completely opposed but was uneasy about the idea of giving an off-ball linebacker a $20 million a year contract in today's NFL. But I think Roquan Smith has continued to prove his value, his worth, week after week after week. And I just think more and more how crazy the Bears were to willingly, deliberately part with that, right? And I guess, you know, if you don't have a franchise quarterback, you know, what value is there to having that Ray Lewis, so to speak, in today's day and age, because you're not winning with the Trent Dilfer at quarterback in 2023. But the leadership on that side of the ball, coupled with the leader that Lamar Jackson has become, and obviously the great player that he's been in the regular season for a long time now. And now, you know, with having beaten Houston last week, taking that monumental step, in my opinion, in terms of breaking through, having that great postseason performance. Now it's just a matter of, oh, you got to beat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. I mean, easier said than done, but the Ravens are built to do this. You know, this feels like it's their year. If it's not this year, when is it then? And that's not to say it would never happen in the future, but it's setting up. It's right there for them. They're playing at home. They're the better team on paper. They're healthier when you kind of look at some of the injuries the Chiefs are dealing with right now. Joe Tooney, their all-pro left guard, I don't think is going to play. You know, if he does play, how effective will he be with, you know, what's a pec injury for an offensive lineman? I mean, that's bad news. You know, Isaiah Pacheco, I expect to play, but is dealing with an ankle and a toe issue. So will that slow him down a little bit? So they're starting safety Mike Edwards in concussion protocol. Whereas on the flip side, the Ravens, I expect Mark Andrews to play on Sunday. I don't know how much he's going to play, but I think he's going to be active. And I think you're going to see him out there, at least in a limited capacity. And we'll see about Marlon Humphrey, who's finally practicing again. So other than that, the Ravens are pretty darn healthy. You know, it's not perfect, but you can't ask for much better in late January. I mean, that's just,
yeah, there could be no excuse on Monday morning if they're not in the Super Bowl about they weren't ready physically. The things you talk about, the Bills in their secondary, the things that, quite frankly, you know, plenty of teams deal with this time of year, missing their J.K. Dobbins or their Mark Andrews or their Marlon Humphrey in a week by week basis. But the reason the Ravens are playing in the championship game, and this may be my wisdom of doing this for 32 years, is they are really healthy. And that's part of Purple Rain 1, part of Purple Rain 2, is there is a narrative that in Purple Rain 1, Shannon Sharp, Ray Lewis, those guys were on the field, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing would be said even in 08 and 12 and 13, where they got to a championship game and they had most of their players. And you could also say in 10 and 11, when Flacco had a grapefruit on his hip and couldn't move out in Indianapolis, they couldn't win with a quarterback banged up like that. People make fun of his stats in that game and the Houston game before. I mean, I know how banged up he was. He couldn't walk and he was playing football. That's how you lose in January. I don't think you can win a Super Bowl that way. I like every, and it feels to me like they're not even hiding any injuries, right? Like there's no gait, there's no limp, there's no gimp, there's no none of that for any of these guys. Say, well, this guy's a little dinged up. Andrews would be probably the key to all of that, to say, I don't know what we're going to get out of him, but out of mostly everybody else, pretty full compliment, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, again, Marlon Humphrey, he's missed over 3 weeks. You know, this has been a 3.5 week calf issue. So one, he has to get to Sunday. Two, what's that look like? And frankly, Ronald Darby's played well in his place. I mean, it's not as though they're in a position where they're desperate to have a 75% Marlon Humphrey on the field. I mean, he's missed about half the season this year. I mean, and their pass defense has rarely skipped, you know, missed a beat. I mean, that's how good they've been defensively. That's how good they've been on the back end of the defense. And it's really a testament to their depth, and it's a testament to Mike McDonald, you know, in coordinating this defense.
Well, but kind of Darby kind of came out of nowhere, right? And now you're counting on him in the way a couple of years ago there was L.J. Ford, and they brought brought the linebacker from Auburn back. Thank you very much. You know, so the fortification, we talk about Van Noy, you know, the obvious things, the Roquan Smith trade, right? But Van Noy and obviously Jadeveon Clowney. But Darby's one of those guys. I don't know if you and I have said his name a whole lot at all this year. And let's be honest, this is Patrick Mahomes. If he's going to be out there, as he was last week, as he's been the last 8 weeks, you know, it's sort of taking that rollover. Huge acquisition that we haven't talked about much by Eric.
No question about it. And I mean, we haven't talked about him too much. I know I've written about him a lot and mentioned him a lot, but look at someone like Brandon Stevens, who going into training camp, Nestor, he was working as a safety and a nickel, and he's only started all but one game at outside corner for them this year, and he's been solid. I mean, he's been above average. I don't know if I'd put him at the Pro Bowl level, but he's been a really dependable, rock-solid starter on the outside, and you know, it's a testament to him, and it's a testament to the coaching staff for what they've done to help develop him. So, yeah, when you have those two, you'd love to have Marlon Humphrey out there. Let's be very clear about this. If he's healthy and ready to go and they've just been extra cautious the last couple weeks with him, then that just gives you another chess piece, not as versatile as Kyle Hamilton, but versatile, that you can move guys around. We talk about it a lot, positionless defense, especially on the back end of the defense. I mean, you have to try to confuse Patrick Mahomes. I mean, it's not easy to do, but if you can do it and you can force him to hold the ball an extra half second, unlike past years, Mahomes has struggled dealing with pressure this year. I mean, that's been something that's been uncharacteristic of him. And I think it's probably systemic, you know, given the issues they've had with wide receivers, other than Rashee Rice not playing at a very high level. But as much as you can do to make him hold the ball, and you can do that by moving these chess pieces around on the second and third level of the defense. And that's what the Ravens have done so effectively all year, because as much as you focus on the Chiefs offensive line, the interior is excellent. And that's why I said the Joe Tooney injury is potentially huge for them, even though they have a couple backups who have done a solid job at times as well. But their vulnerability on their offensive line is their tackles. You know, their tackles, you know, they brought these guys in to, you know, after Orlando Brown left and trying to solidify things, and, you know, their tackles have been shaky. So you make Mahomes hold the ball an extra half second, an extra second, just going to make things easier for the likes of Clowney and Van Noy and Owe to get to him. So, you know, it all fits together, right? I mean, we've talked about the ensemble nature of this defense that, yeah, they have their Pro Bowl players. They have their all pro talents. There's no question about that. But the way that 16 or 17 or 18 guys at times have all played a role in this defense. You know, we've talked about some of those games, like an Arthur Millett, for example, who, you know, in that Chargers game, what, had a sack, had a pass breakup, tackle for a loss. And then you look at the final box score and he played 8 total snaps or 7 total snaps. I mean, they have guys that have very defined roles within this defense, and they've all played them without ego, you know, without any thought of, hey, I should be playing more, or why am I not playing here or doing this? I mean, it's been a very selfless defense, I mean, it's added up to being just a phenomenal group. And it's why I've said for a while now, it's the best defense they've had since the days of Ray Lewis and Ed Reed. You know, when you look at scoring and turnovers and sacks, I mean, it's been that dynamic. So all hands on deck, right? I mean, you're going to need all that against Kansas City. As much as their offense hasn't been the dynamic, explosive group that it's been in previous years, it's still really good. And it's still number 15 at quarterback. I mean, these are the two best quarterbacks on the planet right now. I mean, Lamar's the MVP this year. Mahomes has been the MVP of the last 5 years, you know, if we're calling a spade a spade. So what more can you ask for? But, you know, it's going to be a challenge. There's no doubt about it. But I think the Ravens are embracing that. I think they're as ready for that as they're going to be, considering their relative lack of experience level in January, right? I mean, it's the first time anyone on this team, you know, not talking about individuals who've done it elsewhere, but this team, other than Justin Tucker, you know, they haven't been to the AFC Championship. I mean, it's been 11 years for this Ravens team since they've been back on this stage. So acknowledging that and acknowledging the experience edge that the Chiefs have in that regard, which is fine, they couldn't be better prepared to try to break through and get to a Super Bowl now. I mean, they've been the best team. You know, we've been talking about that since they beat the 49ers. There was really no more disputing it, but you got to go out and do it for 3 hours on Sunday afternoon.
Luke Jones is here. He will be in Owings Mills, and he will be down at the stadium on Sunday. I don't know if he'll be in Owings Mills next week cleaning out lockers or preparing for a trip to Las Vegas. And and we're doing, of course, our Cup of Super Bowl. I'll be promoting that all next week as well and giving more details for all the charities. If you have a charity that needs to be involved, please send me a note, ness@baltimorepositive.com. I'll be working on that all weekend and through next week as well. I want to ask you this because you said something like selfless. And I thought that, you know, that's an interesting word for you to bring that up in week 19 or whatever this is at this point, to say they're selfless, because the Patrick Queen thing could have gone awry. And it had in many cases through the league where another linebacker comes in. Then, hey, I had Joe Flacco on this week. He didn't do so well after Lamar was drafted. Just, you know, speaking out loud about it, how he really felt about it, how he probably still really feels about it to some degree at this point. But Patrick Queen was on the bench 15 months ago, watching Roquan Smith on TV, talking about his stats. A week later, he's next to him on the bench. And knowing that that money was spent, that he was going to have to go get paid by the Packers or somebody else. This thing's abrupt, dude, right? I mean, they're 2-2 in championship games. I don't know that I really got on the bus in 09 going up to Pittsburgh thinking they were going to win. I was convinced they could win in New England, and they should have won the first time. So I look at these championship games and say, it's very, very abrupt, and it's very, very awful. And this would be, I mean, forget me blubbering after the Colts game in 06, right? Like, if they lose this game, it's going to be devastating in a way because they've never lost a Super Bowl. They went up to New England and the Cundiff Evans thing, that was awful. I'm not like that. That was a barometer for how bad it can be. The Peyton Manning loss was a barometer for how bad it can be. I don't know about the Titans, the Bills, or the Chargers. They all kind of stunk, but nobody thought a 22-year-old kid was going to win the Super Bowl, maybe. But now it's expected. They're favored. The notion that if the band breaks up on Sunday and you talk about selflessness, it's certainly that part that got them to this, right? The Clownies, the Van Noys, the guys that could have been other places that had other opportunities to make money. I mean, even Calais Campbell tapping out and saying, I'm going to go play in Atlanta. He's watching them play on TV now saying, yeah, you know, maybe that wasn't the best decision from a winning, losing standpoint. I mean, and probably the Ravens just didn't want it, right? Like, speaking out loud. But in this particular case, they've kept an inordinate amount of talent together this year, right? And I thought about this because having Billick and Marvin on and having Flacco on, I started thinking about teammates and who the special players were. Boy, that 2000 team, I mean, I knew it was special when I was in it to some degree. And I really thought Billick would coach longer and have more of a pedigree as a coach on that end. But for Rex Ryan and Jack Del Rio and Marvin Lewis, just down the list of all the people, Jed Fish just got a job in Washington, another one of Billick's guys, you know. But the legacy of that team with Goose being knighted at this point, Shannon Sharp being on TV every day, the Woodsons, the Hall of Famers, I mean, even Dilfer being on TV for 15 years, it had such a celebrity power about it. I look at this team and I say, if they don't complete this, if somehow they lose on Sunday, or if they go out to and lose to Detroit or San Francisco, it's certainly possible. They're football teams, right? And what happened 3 months ago to the Lions, I don't know that that would happen again. I think San Francisco would take better care of the football, but they got to get through this. But if they were to lose this game and you and I are getting together on Monday and talking about legacy and this and that, there's no Baltimore Bullies made for the team that loses the AFC Championship game to Patrick Mahomes at home after having this legendary DVOA year and all of these great players we think that may, you know, we think Lamar's gone to the Hall of Fame, right? Odell Beckham, you know, I mean, they have some star power, and Roquan Smith is making his case. Kyle Hamilton's at the beginning of the beginning. Mark Andrews, a very nice player. I mean, I'm just thinking about pedigree of the great players when you see that picture on the wall 10 years from now and saying, who's going to Cooperstown? By the way, Adrian Beltre, I had to do a whole redo on that. You and I will do baseball later when it's all over with. But just thinking on the other end of this, there's been a lot of selflessness for this team to get to this point, to not have the next chapter written for them on Sunday, but they have to go write it themselves.
Yeah. I mean, this is the case with any team in January. I mean, short of like underdogs, right? You know, when you think of, I think of like the Jaguars in the mid-90s, right? Where they came out of nowhere, they beat Denver, they get to an AFC championship game. I mean, that's when you're playing with house money. You know, the 98 Vikings, Brian Billick. I mean, you think about how dominant that team was in the regular season, and then what happened to them in the NFC Championship game. I mean, they're the 2007 Patriots. I mean, if you look at them through the conference championship game, they're the greatest team in NFL history. It's not the 72 Dolphins until you get to the Super Bowl, and they didn't win it. And then they're not remembered as the greatest team in NFL history. I mean, that's just how this works. I think I mentioned this in passing a little bit earlier in the week and some of what I've written at some different points in time. I would say, and you know, I've followed the Ravens from the beginning as a 13-year-old, you know, 12, 13-year-old boy, all the way to now covering the, having covered the team for over a decade. I would say I would challenge the 2006 and 2000, not counting, not until this year, you know, but prior to this year. I would say that it's quite possible 2006 and 2019, and I would also throw 2008 in there as well because of how surprising it was. Maybe the most enjoyable regular seasons the Ravens have had. 2000, you had the 5-game touchdown drought. That was miserable for fans to go through. I mean, it absolutely was.
I'll second that.
2012, that team spent more time in disarray during the regular season than looking like they were going to be special in the end. I mean, there's no disputing that. But how do we remember the 2000 team and the 2012 team compared
Champions.
to 2006 or 2019, where those were better teams in the regular season? They failed in January. 2000 to 2012, they won it all. So, I mean, that's just how it works. I mean, that's not to be disparaging to any of those teams.
Well, it's
They all
also for
have.
the Chiefs. This is the crappiest Chiefs team, right? Like,
Sure.
out of all of them. And they're 60 minutes away from doing it. And they have a
Yeah.
chance to do it.
And I mean, I've done a few different out of town radio hits this week, and I said, you know, however, I said how many different years you and I talked about the Patriots in November or December, and hey, they're not looking so good. Brady's, you know, not saying he's washed, but maybe he's on the decline. Belichick seems out of touch. They're not as dominant as they've been. And how many years then, a month or two later, we'd be talking about the Patriots on Radio Row again, getting ready to play in the Super Bowl
Right. They're
again.
so desperate they went and got Antonio Brown and Randy Moss,
Yeah, I
and
mean,
it's
whatever
done.
it is,
They just
right. I
won.
mean,
Yeah.
yeah, and I mean, the Chiefs are trying, are if they're not already in that territory, and obviously the Ravens have a lot to say about that on Sunday, and for Baltimore's sake, you hope we'll have plenty to say, and we'll send them home. But you think about the Patriots. I mean, Brady's, you know, prior to 19, they had been to the Super Bowl in 4 out of 5 years representing the AFC. If Kansas City wins on Sunday and they upset the Ravens, it'll be 4 out of 5 years they've been in the Super Bowl in the AFC. So they're threatening to just, t you know, they've already picked up where the Patriots left off, and they've run with it. So this is really a case where if I'm anyone in the AFC, I'm looking at this and saying, man, if the Ravens don't beat them, my goodness. I mean, if the Chiefs make it out of the AFC this year, considering how underwhelming they looked at times, including even in late December, then what's it going to take for the rest of us to get this done? I mean, okay, the Bengals did it once. You know, they didn't finish the job in the Super Bowl, but they got past them. But you look at it and you just say, if the Chiefs, given some of their flaws, still get through and the Ravens can't do this job, then boy, the rest of the AFC is looking at this, and no matter how much talent and quarterback talent and all these teams we've talked about the last couple of years in the AFC, the Chiefs are still king then. So I
Well,
think
they've
there has
jumped
to
the
be at
shark,
least.
right? I mean, the minute Taylor Swift showed up, and it's taken us a half an hour to mention that, by the way. By the way, the memes this week have just been phenomenal, and I've been sharing them everywhere. I mean, I was really pleased that she showed up at Roto's. I have to apologize to our friends at Royal Farms. I did not put that meme up. I found that a little later on, but I thought she got a chicken pox in West Baltimore. I wasn't sure. So, but I saw the infographic that everybody's, you know, the whole big purple map, and there's a little red in Missouri and in Kansas, and a little bit of red in Ohio because they hate us there. But other than that, it's all purple. You know, the Chiefs are Taylor Swift showing up, right? Like there's a whole brushback to the Chiefs, I'm sure, in the way that the Patriots were cute until about the third or fourth time. Then it wasn't cute anymore, you know? And Mahomes is moving to that level with his wife dancing with Taylor Swift, and that people hate the Chiefs. And I've never hated the Chiefs. I don't even hate the Chiefs this weekend. How can you hate Andy Reid? But you know, Mahomes whining, and by the way, Flacco, when he came on this week, he said, by the way, Flacco was South Jersey. I don't know if you did you see the Flacco piece, or did you
I
watch the
have not
Flacco's?
watched it. I had a chance to read most of the transcript posted at
I think the
BaltimorePositive.com,
first
and
thing he said out
yeah.
of his mouth was, "That's bullshit." Like, "Hi Joe, how are you?"
Unfiltered, I like it.
Well, I guess that speaks to popularity one way or another, or what the reputation would be. But the reputation is that, even if the Chiefs lose on Sunday, it's going to be a great game, and they're coming in here. All the same problems we gave the Patriots. They can't run the ball this year. They can't. They don't have the receivers. They're going to drop the ball. Because they dropped the ball in week eight doesn't mean they're dropping the ball this week. And Mike McDonald's got his hands full. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Dude, I hope you meet, if you don't get to meet Taylor Swift, I hope you get to meet Jason Kelce. So at the very, very least, here this week. Any final shots on thoughts about, because I know you're going to pick the Ravens, because I just sense that about you. I'm nervous about this game, and I should be. And
Yes, you
I don't
should
know that
be.
I wouldn't be as
It's
nervous about the
okay.
Bills or some other team. I'm nervous when Patrick Mahomes comes to town and Andy Reid comes in doing his Jedi stuff against Harbaugh.
I mean, it's okay to be nervous. I think it'd be, I think those who aren't nervous aren't paying the proper respect to the Chiefs. Now, that said, they're not invincible. I mean, they're clearly not. I mean, this game's being played in Baltimore because the Chiefs aren't invincible this year.
And by the way, the
But
weather, we haven't
you do
talked about
look up.
that, but it's going to be wet. I mean, there's
It's
going to
gonna be
be
rainy. Not gonna be nearly as cold. I mean, so it will be rain. It's not gonna be a mixed bag or anything like that. I mean, what temperature in the 40s, is the forecast I was seeing as of the middle of the week, as we were getting closer and closer to the weekend. But yeah, so I don't know if that favors one team or the other. I mean, these are both teams that are used to playing in bad weather. I don't think that's a major thing. I think for the Ravens, I look at, as much as we've spent time talking about Mahomes, better be ready to stop Isaiah Pacheco in the running game. It's not a dominant running game, but it's good enough. It's certainly way better than the Houston running game, which I is one of the reasons why I didn't give Houston much of a chance to pulling off the upset, because I just didn't think they're going to be able to run the football nearly effectively enough to try to keep Lamar and this offense off the field.
If you
Can the
can't run
Chiefs
the
do that?
football,
Exactly.
you can't keep the football.
Right,
Period.
exactly. I mean, that's the thing. For years, we've talked about what you have to do to try to keep Mahomes and the Chiefs offense off the field. I mean, teams are viewing the Ravens in the same light now. It's a matter of what can you do to try to keep Lamar and their offense off the field to try to limit their possessions. And we saw the Rams do this better than anyone over the last 6, 7 weeks, where, close to 8 weeks now, where they ran the ball effectively and they gave the Ravens everything they could handle for 60 minutes. Most teams have been able to hang with the Ravens for 20, 25, 30, maybe 35 minutes, and then the Ravens have pulled away. So, but I think the running game is a big factor there. And, then on the flip side, I mean, it's a Chiefs defense. Steve Spagnuolo, familiar with Harbaugh. Spags was here in Baltimore for a couple years. Harbaugh even talked about this, how Spags contributed some elements to what their defense has become today. And then Harbaugh quipped, by the way, Steve's also taken some of the elements of our current defense and applied it to what Kansas City does with moving things, pre-snap deception and some pressures and different things like that. So it's a good Kansas City defense. I mean, it is. I mean, as much as Mahomes and Kelce and their offense has been, passing game has been the story for a long time, it's really been their defense, and to a lesser extent, but I think it's still been prominent for them this year and certainly last year, having a more physical running game with Pacheco, who's a little banged up. It looks like he'll be good to go for Sunday, based on, what you're hearing out of Kansas City. So, it's a team that's, they've had to grind way more this year. They haven't been the, the finesse, more finesse looking basketball team that they were, when Tyreek Hill was just outrunning everybody in previous years. I mean, they've had to work. I mean, there's no doubt about it. So, is there a scenario where the Ravens do to them what they did against San Francisco and what they did against Miami and what they did against Houston? Yeah, that wouldn't shock me. But at the same time, it's the defending champs. It's the team that's been there, a team that has a lot of experience to draw from. Whereas the Ravens playing this late into January is new territory for most of these guys. Doesn't mean that they're not going to handle it. Doesn't mean they're not going to win. I'm picking the Ravens, but I think there's certainly a recognition of the task in front of them, which is beating the guy that's been the best for a while now and beating the team that's been the best for a while now. And it's the way it should be. It's about time the Ravens are finally on this stage playing this team after talking about it so much over the last 5 years. The time's here. To go back to the Brian Billick line, the time is here. It's time to go to a Super Bowl, and this is the last step.
Luke Jones will be at the game on Sunday. Everyone else will be at the game or watching on TV. We're doing a cup of Super Bowl the week of February the 5th, all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery Window Nation and Jiffy Lube MultiCare. You can find Luke at Baltimore Luke. You can find me, Ness, at BaltimorePositive.com. If you have a charity that needs to be featured, local charity, local community group, we're doing that for 5 consecutive days in lieu of Chad Steele blocking me and my radio station from being on Radio Row in Las Vegas. That being said, a Raven victory on Sunday night will not only mean awesome post-game coverage from Luke Jones, it means Luke's going out to Las Vegas next week. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking AFC Championship game, Super Bowl, and Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.